in Psalms. It's got 21 verses. I'm going to look at the first 14 verses. And I'm going to take a phrase. I can find it. I did not mark it. Oh, it's in verse number 6. Verse number 6. Whatever the Lord pleased. Whatever the Lord pleased. I'm going to speak to you tonight about the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence of God. Amen. And that's what this first half of this, first 14 verses of this psalm is speaking about. And how that, how the omnipotence of God will benefit us. It does benefit us in several ways. And so I'm glad that I have a God that is almighty and is all powerful and he's all knowing. And that is what these verses are speaking about here. And the psalmist can't help but praise the Lord because he is all powerful. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness toward us. We thank you, Father, for your word. We pray that you'd help us this evening to learn something from your word. Lord, we acknowledge our need of you, and we pray that you would lead us and guide us and direct us as we look into your word. Pray that each and every one would listen with open hearts and open ears and be ready to receive your word, and that you would do a work in their hearts this evening. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Read the first 14 verses. He says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto thy name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, in all deep places. He causeth vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an inheritance unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. There we see the Lord's omnipotence played out in those first 14 verses in several ways. The psalmist is praising the Lord for his power and for his authority that he has. And he says that that authority reaches from the heavens all the way down to the earth, and what is under the earth and what is in the seas, that God's power reaches to all of that. If you were to do a study of the history of Israel, they didn't always have that attitude. Many times they didn't always act as though God had all the power and he was their authority. I was thinking just before this message started that many times, and you search the book of Judges, and the book of Judges, the Bible says that they did what was right in their own eyes. There was no king in Israel, and so basically it was every man for himself, and they were their own authority, and they just did whatever they wanted to do. And many times you and I can live our lives as though God is not in control of everything. And God is in control of everything. But many times we have that heart attitude that we are our own king, that we are the ones who are the driving force of our lives. But it is not. It is God. And we need to recognize that and live that way. Someone once said the greatest single distinguishing feature of the omnipotence of God is that our imagination gets lost thinking about it. And if you think about the power and the omnipotence of God, you will get lost. Because you think about a being that is not limited by anything, by nothing. I mean, aside from his own his own nature. I mean, God is not going to go against his nature. But other than that, there's nothing that limits God. Absolutely nothing. Omnipotence means having unlimited power, able to do anything, unlimited in his power or influence. Job found this out the hard way whenever he did his griping session all the way throughout the book of Job. And then God stepped in and talked to Job. And Job said these words. He says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. God knows the thoughts of you and me and everybody here on this side and everybody in China and everybody in Africa, everybody on the European continents, and he knows why they're doing it and what they're doing. And he can listen to it, and he has all authority in all of those places. There's nothing that is outside the scope of God's influence and his omnipotence. He does whatsoever he pleased. Whatsoever. It doesn't matter what it is. There's no constraint to his power. There's nothing that forces the hand of God. He is never forced or backed into a corner or forced to do anything in the heavens and in the earth and in all of the deep places. Everything in hell, everything in the sea, everything on the earth, everything in the second heaven, everything in the third heaven. There's nothing that limits God. He is unlimited. It extends to the entire universe. No one dictates and tells God what to do or how he must behave. He is the most free being that there ever was or ever will be. And people who are finite beings like you and I, man, we can't hardly grasp that. Because we are so limited and we are so finite. He doesn't have to take advice from anyone. He doesn't need any wisdom. He doesn't need any knowledge. He has all of it. I can't go to God and give him advice. Many times we might pray like that. Don't you know what's going on in my life? Don't you know the thoughts that I'm having? Don't you know the hardships that I'm going through? I need to inform you, God, about the things that are happening in my life because I think you're pretty disconnected from me at this point in my life. Matter of fact, I think that's what Job thought many times. But God knew all about that. He was not ill-informed about, and he is not ill-informed about our situations. He knows all about it. God has no fear of anything. He cannot lose anything. He cannot fail. God does whatsoever he pleases. God does not need anything to complete him. He has absolutely no needs whatsoever. He needs nothing. Many times we might think, well, that's why God created us. God created us because he wanted to have fellowship with us. And God was just a lonely man up in the sky, or he was a lonely God up in the sky. And that's why he created us, because he was lonely and he wanted to have fellowship with us. I hate to burst your bubble here tonight, but that's not why God created us. God did not create us because he had some need within himself that he had to fulfill. And so he thought that he would make mankind in order to fulfill that need. God had all the fellowship that he wanted to throughout all of eternity through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He had fellowship with himself, and he did not need us to have fellowship. But yet he made us out of his mercy. God does not need anything to complete him. He is totally a complete being. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what will happen in the future and why it will happen. He decrees it. It says in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 to 10, it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Amen. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure. Amen. There's not any puny human beings that are going to come to God and dictate to him what he will do. He's going to do all of his pleasure. And we can trust God here tonight, because he is a just, a holy, and a righteous God, and he will do what is right each and every time. And what are we to do to stick our bony fingers in the face of God and say, you're wrong here. You are wrong here. You did something wrong in the Bible here. We have no right to do that. We are dirt creatures. Dirt. And God is almighty. And he is all powerful. He says again in Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand and say unto him, what doest thou? Amen. I can't imagine that. I second-guess myself all the time. I second-guess what I ought to eat for dinner sometimes. God does not have any second thoughts. He doesn't say those kinds of things. There's four acts that God was pleased to accomplish here in this text. Four ways that God's omnipotence is displayed, and we see how we benefit from God's omnipotence. The first thing we see is God's consecration. We're going to have four C's. The second one is His creation. The third one is compensation. And the fourth one is compassion. All of those are related to God's omnipotence. He did those things because He wanted to do them, because He had a desire to do them. The first thing was consecration. He set apart a people for Himself. He didn't have to, but He wanted to. It says in verse number 4, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure." God chose Israel. And He didn't choose anybody else, because He wanted to. And it wasn't because there was something in Israel that forced Him to take Israel. He just decided, I'm going to choose Israel. I want to display and I want to show myself to the rest of the world. And so I'm going to do it through one race of people, and that's the Jewish race. God chose it. He consecrated those people to Himself, and He chose those people, and He did it through His omnipotence because He wanted to do it. And He said, I did this because I love this people and because I have made a covenant with Abraham, and I am going to keep my end of the bargain, and it's going to be through Israel that I do it. And it was through His omnipotence. God consecrated that people to them. It wasn't because He had to choose them. He just chose them. And it pleased Him to do this. And God used him. God used the nation of Israel for His purposes. God wanted to show them, God wanted to show the world that there is one God, and He did it through the nation of Israel. God wanted to give the world a Bible, and He gave it to the world through the nation of Israel. God wanted to give the world a Savior, and He gave the world a Savior through the Jewish people. And they were His chosen people, and they still are His chosen people. Yes, we understand that they are Christ rejectors right now, but God is not all through with Israel. There is still a plan and a purpose for the nation of Israel and God's economy. And one of these days, God is going to set His favor back upon the nation of Israel, and He will use them again, once again. That's why they're still here. That's why they're still over there in the nation of Israel right now, is because God said, these are My chosen people, and He will return to dealing with them again one of these days. After the times of the Gentiles are done, God is going to go back to the nation of Israel, and yes, He will still use them. It says, all Israel shall be saved. They will be saved one of these days. He's going to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. If you and I are saved here tonight, it pleased God to consecrate you because He's got a purpose for you. There's a reason why you're here. It's not because you're somebody special or I'm somebody special and there's just something about us. No, it's because of God's omnipotence that He has set us apart for a specific purpose. Can I tell you here tonight that when God sets someone apart for consecration, it is for a good purpose. It is for something better. Because if He would have left you alone and He would have left me alone, we would have continued down that same destructive path that we were going down before He got a hold of you and me. And we would have destroyed our lives, because that is human nature. Without human nature, without the mercy and the grace of God, will self-destruct. Amen. Guaranteed. Amen. We must have God. Amen. Work over there at the nursing home, and we had a room that we were working on. There was somebody that had used that. A couple of people had used that different room for offices and things like that. And this is an old building. I'm sure you all know that. It's an old building, but my boss decided, hey, they had moved out of this office. We're doing some shifting around over there, and people are moving into different offices. And my boss said, hey, we're setting this room aside for a project. We're going to work on this. The room was emptied out, had scratches and dents and holes in the wall, hadn't been worked on in several years, had carpet, old, dingy, ugly carpet, had holes in it and tears in it. And, you know, it was just a mess. You know, probably hadn't been painted since 1995. And it just needed texture. It needed some TLC. And he put me and another guy in charge of this room, and we got to work on that room. And we tore out the old carpet, and there was some old linoleum underneath that that had probably been there since 1955. It had a bunch of holes in it. So once we started ripping up the carpet, well, all the linoleum came up with it. So we had to take the linoleum. I always have problems saying that word, sorry. We had to take all of that up as well. Scrape all that up, got the glue up. Started working on the walls, fixed the walls. Man, we put some texture on that those walls, made it look good. Painted it a two-tone color, flat finish paint. Man, it looked good. Put a chair rail across there around the center of the room. Put some varnish and some stain on that. Man, it looked like a brand new room. I was pretty proud of that. I was looking at, man, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, if we had left that room alone, it would have continued to deteriorate and continue to go downhill. But somebody had to get a hold of that thing, and they had to rip all the old stuff out and put some new stuff in. We put new flooring in. Man, it looks good. Do you know what? That's what God does with our lives? God consecrates people, and he sets them apart, and he says, hey, you need to get that junk out of there. There's a bunch of stuff in there, this old, ugly, dingy sin, unrighteousness, unholiness that's in your life, and it's really making your life look ugly. You need to get that stuff out of there. Let me get it out of there for you. And he starts ripping stuff out of there, taking stuff out. And boy, he starts putting new stuff in. Man, he makes it look pretty. Man, he makes it look good. And you think to yourself, man, I never could have done that by myself. If it was not for the grace of God intervening in my life and taking care of me and taking all that stuff, I would have just went downhill big time. You know why? Because we need the grace of God in our lives to shape us up and to clean us up and to help us. And that's why we need to come to church, because that's the way that we hear the Word of God preached, and that's the way that God works on us, is by hearing the Word of God ministered to us. Yet so many people think, oh, I don't need all of that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do need the Word of God preached to you. That's the way that God works on you. That's the best way. I mean, he can do some other things that you probably ain't going to like very much. He's going to send some things into your life that might send you to church. Boy, I could go off on that, man. That's a lot of people, they don't go into church until something really bad happens in their life, and then they're there. And then they do all right for a while, and things start shaping up in their life, and then they leave church again. You need to stay in church. Don't leave church. Be here every time the doors are open. God intervenes in our lives, and he consecrates us, and that's a display of the omnipotence of God. It's something we couldn't have done, not on our own and not by a long shot. The next thing we see here is in God's omnipotence is the creation of God. He says in verse number 7, he says, he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings wind out of his treasuries. What's he talking about there? He's talking about a thunderstorm, just to play it out plain. He's talking about causing the vapors to come out of the sky. That's rain. He's talking about lightnings. He's talking about bringing the wind. Whenever we have a thunderstorm, you know what it is? It's wind, it's lightning, it's rain, it's thunder. It's all those things. Did you know that's the omnipotence of God sending a rainstorm our way that we need? How would you like to live in a world that never had rain? We're almost here in Portales, but not quite. It's pretty dry. But how would you like to live in a place that did not have rain and thunderstorms? Let me tell you something here this evening. You could not live on an earth that did not have thunderstorms, because they are absolutely essential for life on this planet. You have to have it. I was looking up some reading on what you have to live upon this earth. And do you know what one of those things is? Wind. You have to have wind. If there was no more wind upon this planet, did you know that everything would just kind of go stale and there would be no more shifting around of the temperatures upon this earth? And the polar opposite over there where it's cold, it'd get a lot colder, and everything on the southern end would get warmer. Probably confusing everybody here, because I'm not a weather person. But man, you have to have wind. And the Bible is saying here that God sends those thunderstorms our way because we need those. And how foolish is it of us to think that we can destroy the planet by our activities? Hey, we're not going to be able to destroy the earth. We're not going to be able to save the planet. You know, we can't even save one single human being upon this earth, much less save an entire planet. But yet we, in our society today, think that we become so puffed up and proud that we can save the planet. Now, I am not advocating one moment here for wasting our resources. I'm not saying any of that. I think we ought to take care of what God has given to us. But we're not going to destroy the planet. You know, I think that Washington is wrong on that. And the whole story behind that is wrong. But one of these days, God is going to destroy the planet. One of these days, He's going to send a firestorm our way. And yes, He will destroy everything. Everything that you see, everything that you experience will be burned up one of these days. Even the atmosphere will be burned up. But we are not going to destroy the planet, and God has blessed us with weather. And that is a display of His omnipotence. If we didn't have wind, we could not survive. If we did not have thunderstorms, if we did not have lightning, we could not survive. Thunderstorms help keep the earth in electrical balance. If the earth's surface and the atmosphere, the earth's atmosphere and surface conduct electricity, and the earth is charged negatively and the atmosphere positively. Without thunderstorms and lightning, the earth's atmosphere and electrical balance would disappear in 5 minutes without thunderstorms. That's not something that happened over 5 million years of evolution. That's something that God put into place because we have a smart planet that was put into play by a smart creator. That's the omnipotence of God. Our weather system is not a product of evolution. It's the product of an omnipotent God. God has been good to us. God is the designer and creator behind it. God is omnipotent in the weather. The next area of omnipotence we see is in the compensation of the Lord. God is the one who pays people back and compensates people, nations, individuals. We read in verse number 8 to 12. The psalmist starts talking about the redemption of the people of Israel from Egypt and how God paid back Pharaoh for his rebellion. He says He smote the firstborn of Egypt. He sent tokens and wonders into the midst of Egypt upon Pharaoh and upon all of his servants. He smote great nations and slew mighty kings. What is that? That's God working in nations. He said, hey, you're going to rebel against me and rebel against my word and rebel against my commandments? I don't know who you're messing with. God is omnipotent in nations. God says, let my people go. Let my firstborn go, my nation Israel go, Pharaoh, so that they can go and they can worship me in the wilderness. And if you don't let him go, I'm going to smite your firstborn. What did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let him go. I'm not going to let him go. And what happened? God smote his firstborn. You know who the death angel was that was flying through Egypt, killing all the firstborn? It was God. God was doing that. He can do whatever he wants to do. And then God sent the children of Israel into the promised land to take over all of those nations that inhabited those lands. And why did he do that? Because he had no reason? No, because they were committing horrible, ungodly acts in their land. They were committing child sacrifice. They were committing all of these heinous crimes having to do with fornication. Read in the book of Leviticus. You find out about all of the things that they were doing in their land. And God says, I'm not going to put up with that. If you are going to use the land that I have given you and I have blessed you with for ungodly ways, if you're going to do that, I'm going to take that land away from you. God has complete authority to do that. God will compensate. He will recompense, the Bible says, saith the Lord. So God is omnipotent in the mind, or excuse me, in the area of nations. What do you think about America? What is God going to do? Do you think God's going to let us get away with the things that we're getting away with? Do you think that God is going to let us mistreat and misuse the bodies that He has given to us in the ways that we are misusing them and not do anything about it? I don't think that He will. I believe that God is going to send judgment upon this land because of what we are doing. Do you think that God is going to let us sacrifice children in the altar of convenience and pleasure year upon year upon year and not visit us with some recompense? I believe that He will. I believe that He will. That's God's omnipotence. How does God do that? Well, He'll send another nation against you. I don't care how mighty your nation is. It'll get taken over. It'll get taken over. God has complete authority to do that. We see God's omnipotence in nations. Lastly, we see the omnipotent compassion of God upon His people. He says in verse number 14, He says, "For the Lord will judge His people, and He will repent concerning His servants." God is going to vindicate His people. Now, if you were to read this verse, verse number 14, we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 36. That verse is a quote from Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 36. If you were to read the context of Deuteronomy chapter number 32, you'll find out that the children of Israel had rebelled against God. They had gone against God's holy word. They had, even though God had taken them from Egypt and blessed them and led them through the wilderness and given them everything that they needed, after a while, they decided and they became rebellious against God. And God had blessed them so much that those blessings actually became a curse upon them. And they forgot about God. They forgot about everything that He had done for them. And they decided to rebel against God. And God sent judgment against them. He said, "Okay, this is what you're going to do. Judgment is coming upon you." But God didn't leave them alone. And God's not going to leave those people alone. God says, "I'm going to come back and I'm going to bless you again. I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to clean you up and you're still my people and I'm still going to bless you even though you left me. Even though you don't deserve it, I'm still going to bless you." Did you know that's God's omnipotent compassion upon people who do not deserve it? And those people are still God's people, and they're still Christ rejectors, but God's still going to bring them back. They're still going to be restored, and they don't deserve it. Did you know that's the same thing it is with you and I here today? We do not deserve the salvation that we have. We were the Christ rejectors. We were the rebels against God. We were the ones who were running against God, and God has made us so fat with blessings. He's given us so much. And sometimes we forget about Him. We don't think about Him. But then the omnipotence of God comes in and He blesses us anyway. And He has compassion upon us. God's compassion is omnipotent. We don't deserve it. Thank God for His compassion upon us. Thankful for Him, even though we don't deserve it. We've all seen the rainbow and the thunderstorm. We know what that's a sign of. God destroyed the earth with a flood, and then God told Noah, "This is the sign of the rainbow that I'm going to give you to tell you that I'm not going to destroy the earth with a flood anymore." You know that's what that is? That's a sign of the mercy of God upon human beings that don't deserve it. But an interesting thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, you go to Revelation chapter number 4 and read about the throne of God. What do you think when you think about the throne of God? You think about the sovereignty of God. You think about the judgment of God. You think about the righteousness of God that you find there at that throne. But you know what's surrounding that throne? A rainbow is surrounding the throne. You know what that tells us? Hey, even though there's judgment there at that throne, even though there's condemnation at that throne, there is also mercy at that throne. And that's the omnipotence of God. And so the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's God's omnipotence right there, compassion Are you thankful tonight that God has given you compassion even when you didn't deserve it, and mercy when you didn't deserve it? Well, I think about that. I was watching some home movies earlier this week, thinking about myself. Hey, I don't deserve to be where I'm at in life today. But God has been merciful. He's been gracious to us. God does whatever He pleases, whatever He wants to do. God does it in heaven and in earth. His only limit is His nature. Has God been pleased to do something in your life? Can you look back at your life and say, yeah, I could see right there, God was good to me. God has blessed me when I didn't deserve it. His omnipotence has worked in my life and intervened in my life. You know what that tells us? That tells us that God is a God who is worthy of our praise. Just as the psalmist was talking about, he started out his psalm by praising the Lord. And the reason that he was praising the Lord is because of the omnipotence of God. He says it over and over and over again. But yet so many times we don't praise God. And we forget. We go on about our daily lives and we think about ourselves. And we don't think about praising God. But God is worthy of our praise. One last thought I'd like to leave you with. And because God is omnipotent and all-powerful, we need to yield to His consecrating, powerful grace. If God is doing something in your life and working in your life, don't fight it. Don't go against Him. Because it's only going to be heartache, it's only going to be pain, and it's only going to be suffering for you if you go against God. Yield to Him. Walk in the Spirit. Because you're not going to be on the winning side. You're not going to win in the end. You're going to come out on the losing side. Submit yourself to God and do it every day. Every moment of your life, submit yourself to Him. And you'll be glad that you did in the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. Lord, we thank You that You are omnipotent. Lord, we're thankful that You do not have to answer to anyone. I wouldn't want a God like that. Lord, I'm thankful that You are all-powerful. God, I pray that You'd help us to remember this in the days to come. And everything that we do, we must remember that we can't fight against You. We'll be on the losing side. Lord, help us to yield ourselves to You in everything that we do. Thank You, God, for Your blessings toward us and Your mercy towards us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.